This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
You're tuned to the Women's Zone on Joy 94.9, and you've just been listening to a track from Jen Clore's new album, Hidden Hands, and I've got Jen here in the studio. Good afternoon, Jen.
Hi, how are you, Cass?
I'm very good. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Now, this album, it's, I guess it's, I would say it's probably a much anticipated album.
I'm glad to hear that. It would be not such a great thing to have the not so anticipated or not so long awaited.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. But I was just wondering because let's kind of go back to your last album, which did really well, and you were just really picking up.
Mm.
You know, you were on tour. You did a lot of touring with a lot of great acts.
Yeah.
And indeed. then you left for New Zealand and kind of left us in the lurch a little bit.
Yes, it was a strange move. I mean, it was an unexpected move in some ways.
Mm.
My mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease probably around the end of 2005. And then I released my first album, Deadwood Falls, in 2006, did a bunch of touring. And at the beginning of 2007, my dad asked if I'd think about coming back to spend some time and help out, and of course, that's exactly what I did. And it actually the title of the album, Hidden Hands, it was something that I hadn't expected, but it reaped many gifts and rewards. It was a hard time, but it was a great time for me artistically as well.
But as I said, an anticipated album, because you did kind of disappear for a while.
I did.
And did that put some pressure on you?
Yeah, I think it's always perceived pressure. Mm. There's a lot of perceptions in the industry about when you should release an album and how long you should have between albums. And it's easy to, get stuck in that frame of mind or that way of thinking. And I've certainly been guilty of that. But what I've come to realise is that the work is what matters, and you want to put out your best work. And if that means, when was the last time Gillian Welsh put out an album?
Well, good question.
I think it was 2002, and I know for a fact that if she was to put an album out tomorrow, everyone would go and buy it.
That's right. Well, I was going to say that was one of the points I guess I was going to make, that I think if you were a pop star,
yes,
then a couple of years is probably a long time, and people do forget you.
Yeah, rest in peace.
But and I think
rest in peace, Kylie.
Yes, I think though that I say this of your music, that if there is a quality piece, and then people are very excited to hear the next one, and I think that is what's happened with your music.
And I think when you are a fan or you admire someone's work, you're interested in their body of work. And I know for me that sometimes an artist that I really like puts out an album that I don't necessarily think is their best work. But I'm in there for the long haul. I guess that's what I mean, is that, it's their body of work that I'm interested in and where they're going. So,
that's right. I'm very much like that with Elvis Costello. I've been a huge fan of Elvis's for years.
Yeah.
And every now and again he brings one out and I think, it's not one of the best ones. But then the next one, is going to be... It's going to be great again.
But that, of course, is not the case with my second album, Kaz.
No, it is not.
That's what we're hoping anyway.
No, look, it isn't. And going back to what you were saying, you went back to New Zealand, and you're an only child too.
I am.
So, again, that probably put a little bit of pressure on you to be there as well.
Yeah, well, absolutely. There wasn't anyone else that was going to appear out of the woodwork and be their daughter. So, it's one of those duties, I think we have that feeling of duty that's very natural, and it's not a hard task. It's something that you want to do. You want to be a daughter, and I'm just really grateful that I got to spend that time with my parents, who I adore. I mean, they're incredible people. And give back to them, you know. They've been incredibly supportive of me as an artist, and they've always, you know, been there encouraging me. So it was really lovely to be there for them, you know.
And as you said as well, through difficult times, through challenges like this, it has fed back into your creativity, because the album does mention your mother quite a lot.
It does, yeah. It would have been... it would have been like ignoring the pink elephant in the corner of the room if I hadn't written about what was going on for me at the time. Because I was going through immense grief. I mean, when you experience, and I'm sure there's many listeners out there who have experienced someone close to them living with Alzheimer's disease, it's a curious disease. I mean, the person's there, but they're kind of not there either. They're heading somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right. There's a line actually, well, a verse... which I think says it all about that. Every day my mind cast out to sea, when it returns there's less and less of me. A lost girl in the house I own, a grey-haired woman I don't know. So
yeah. Well, it's I wrote those lyrics. My mum I was living in their house for a good part of the time that I was there, and she'd sit upstairs and look out at the sea. And I remember actually saying to her one day, you know, how are you? And she said, oh, I just feel like a lost girl, you know. And I thought, she's wandering around in this house, and you know, it must be such an alienating and peculiar experience for the person going through it. And I guess we'll never really know.
Yeah,
you know. But I think she's handled it so well. You know, I really think my mum has just, you know, been very positive, you know. She's never kind of, you know, well, this is it, then bye. You know, she's stuck in there.
Has there been moments of humour in it as well? Because I know that there can be.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I spent most of my time downstairs in my mother's study. And, you know, it used to be a hive of activity. She was a celebrated academic in her time, and was down there writing, you know, a lot, and fantastic books. But I was down there dealing with writer's block, trying to write an album, and sometimes I'd be sitting in there, you know, jamming out and in the moment, and I'd finish a song and I'd hear this laughing and clapping, and I'd turn around and my mum would have snuck into the room. It used to freak me out. I'd jump like, what are you doing in here? But she'd sneak in for a little bit of a private concert. And I said, you can't do that. I'm in the middle of writing. It makes me feel self-conscious.
So while you were over there, did you make an effort to write every day?
Yeah, I did. I'd never had a creative practice as such. And, you know, there's a famous saying that you have your whole life to write your first album and 6 months to write your second. And that certainly, I went into it freaking out. You know, I was like, oh, my God, you know, I haven't got a whole lot of songs that I'm going to be drawing from that I've been writing prolifically over the last few years. I'm really starting from scratch. And so, you know, I really had to sit down and apply myself. And, you know, we were talking just before we came on air about Pat Patterson, who is a songwriting teacher that we've both had some tutoring with in the past, and attended some of his workshops.
And so has Gillian Welsh.
Yes, she has. Exactly. That was a selling point for me. I was like, oh, if he's taught Gillian Welsh some stuff, I might get along to that. But, you know, he echoes the same thing that someone like Leonard Cohen or Nick Cave or PJ Harvey, or, you know, people that I really admire as songwriters, Laura Veers, they all echo the same sentiment, which is, you know, you have to be there for the song to arrive. And if you're not sitting down daily, then you're not going to write songs, you know. And so I really tried to apply some kind of creative discipline, I guess.
Yeah, I love Pat's phrase. One of the things that he says a lot, and he says it every time, is that he gives homework to he teaches at Berkeley.
Yes,
and he gives homework to his students, which is to write a bad song every day for a month.
Yeah,
and he says that no one has ever been able to succeed that, because they always end up writing a pretty good song.
Yeah, great.
And then the other thing he says is, crap is the write crap all, you know, all the time, as much crap as you can, because crap is the best fertilizer.
Yeah.
So yeah, I try to write as many bad songs as I can.
Well, I think also in that, you know, pretty much I didn't write a whole lot of songs. I wrote, you know, maybe 10 or 11 songs, 9 of which made their way onto the album. Mm. The other two that didn't make it on just didn't make it on because they didn't feel right. Mm. But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, even if you are a slow, steady, you know, working on it, you know, I might spend a month or two working on one song and being very meticulous about it. I think that's also another approach,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
Which is just as valid. And I sort of, you know, discovered that I wasn't going to be the songwriter that wrote 50 songs and then chose the 10 or 15 best, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe one day,
yeah.
You know, who
yeah.
knows.
Yeah. Now you brought your guitar. What are you going to play with us for us first?
Well, seeing as we've just been talking all about writing songs and mothers and all of that kind of thing, I thought I might play the first song on the album, which is called Mother's Desk.
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favourites, actually.
Oh, cool! Excellent. It's pretty self-explanatory, so I'll give it a go now. Broken like a deadly curse, woke up to an empty page. Starting over can be good, but really I was just afraid. So I sat in my mother's desk, where her first class mind was laid to rest. Jennifer, don't break your head. Jennifer, don't break your heart. All that really matters now is that you try to make a start. So I sat at my mother's desk, where her first class mind was laid to rest. I've been crazy, lonely, I've been so many things. I cried like a broken one, contented at least with what I love. Deaf heaven wouldn't hear my cry, so here I am. Tell you what I know, procrastination never felt so slow. I've been crazy, lonely, I've been so many things. I cried like a broken one, content at least with what I love. Deaf heaven wouldn't hear my cry, so here I am. To hold me, often a small sound, precious and holy. Every day slowly, some hope to hold me. Often a small sound, precious and holy. Oh, I cried like a broken one, content at least with what I love. Deaf heaven wouldn't hear my cry. Standing here, I don't.
don't know why. Oh, cried like a broken one. Content at least with what I love. Death heaven wouldn't hear my cry. So here I am.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Wonderful. Thanks, Jane. You're on the Women's Zone on Joy 94.9, and you've just been listening to Jane Clore with a live track. The album was pretty much done live, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
How was that? How did that go? Well, it sounds amazing, but how did it work for you?
Well, it was good actually. I mean, we spent, about a week doing some demo recording, and then I went back to New Zealand. That would have been in May last year. Went back to New Zealand, wrote some notes around that, and then I came back in September, and we spent another week in pre-production, just at a rehearsal space in Collingwood, and then we spent a week recording. And because of time, money, resources, you know, we needed to pretty much record live. And of course, I wanted to get the best possible sounds that I could. So we went and recorded at a studio in Pran, I think it was, just off Carlisle Street, Woodstock. So, yeah, it was a good experience. We had a lot of fun.
And there's some great musicians on the album too.
Yes, yeah, I was really lucky.
Yeah, you've got Laura Jean there on keyboard, for one thing, who's also doing really well for herself.
That's
as a solo
right.
artist.
Yeah, Laura, she actually, you know, helped produce the album, and I'm a big fan of her work, and I think she's, you know, one of the great songwriters in Australia at the moment, actually. And I thought she'd bring just a different aesthetic to the sound and some interesting creative ideas. And it's funny because when we were rehearsing at Adelphia and doing pre-production, there was a piano there, and Laura had never planned to necessarily play the piano, but just sat down and started mucking around, and then all of a sudden we were like, that's great. So she pretty much joined the band as the pianist, and she's done a few tours with us now, playing keys, and you know, she's such a great singer. So she really adds, you know, a whole other dimension. It's a much fuller band having Laura there.
And I saw you perform, support Mia Dyson on her farewell tour before she went to the States as well. Great gig.
It was.
And you've also got a good relationship with Mia. I know that you've written a song based on your friendship with her.
Yeah, I have.
How important is it for you to have good relationships with your peer musicians?
Yeah, I think it's been really important for me because no one ever told me how to do this thing, you know, how to be a singer-songwriter or self-managed, you know. And you do have moments, I think every artist does, of going, why am I doing this? This is so hard. And how do you do this? And it's interesting because having people like Laura and Mia in my life has really given me that platform to just call up and go, I am losing the plot. Can you help me, or really express what's going on emotionally, or really basic stuff like, do you know a good photographer, or what was that person like to work with? So I guess it's just building that local network of supporters, you know, and people that are there, you know, championing your work. I think it's really, really important. In fact, you know, I've just been doing The Push, which is a youth run music initiative in Brunswick. They're based out of Brunswick, but they do a lot of stuff regionally through Freezer, I think is the name of Freezer Central. They've had a mentee program set up this year where they've had 10 established songwriters like myself, Liz Stringer, Rebecca Barnard, Angie Hart, mentoring emerging songwriters. And it's been so wonderful because I just thought, wow, I wish I'd had someone like that, you know, around when I was coming out, you know, as a coming out as a musician. I'm coming out as a songwriter on Joy FM. But yeah, you know, coming out into the music scene. And just, you know, I hope that they're getting a lot from it, but you know, it's a great program, so yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, and look, you're so right. I mean, I think most anyone in it pursuing any kind of artistic career, you know, forget that there is a business side to it, and it is a job.
Yeah.
And if you want to turn it into something that is going to you're going to make a living from, and
that's right. Or even just, you know, to be really honest with you, just to cover the costs of doing it is successful.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Absolutely. Having the money to bring out albums a big thing.
That's right.
And to do the tours, you know.
I mean, I've also been really lucky because I've always applied for funding rounds with Arts Victoria and also the Contemporary Music Touring Program, which is a federally funded initiative. And I've probably, you know, won, you know, 4 or 5 grants in my time of making music, and without those programs there, you know, I doubt that the quality of the work and of so many other artists in Victoria would be, you know, where it is. So I really hope they keep running those programs.
Yeah, do you think it's well enough funded? Do you think that the arts in general in Australia is a well supported?
You know, I think, you know, you're asking an artist. I think that most people would agree that funding for the arts is often not a priority. But I guess at the same time, you know, it's up to us to, you know, I think I remember Claire Bowditch getting up in her acceptance speech at the ARIAs in 2006 and just bringing it home, you know, and saying, you know, come on, Braxy. And I think it is, you know, finding those platforms where you can to just bring people's awareness to it.
I just remember having a conversation in the studio with Liz Stringer about this very thing, and she was, you know, talking about how well sport is funded and how, you know, people don't mind, even the general public don't mind spending quite a bit of money sometimes to go and see a sports event.
That's
but,
right.
But don't want to spend $10 to go and see a couple of really good bands.
Yeah, yeah.
You're on the Women's Zone on Joy 94.9, and I'm in the studio with Jen Clore. Jen, what are you going to play for us now?
Well, the next song I have for you is a song called Eden with My Eve. And it's probably one of two love songs on the album. Both of the love songs on the album are written from other people's perspectives. So there's one from my mother to my father, which was the first song that you played. And this one is actually a song that I wrote for my drummer, Jen Chalakis, and her now wife, Laura Jean. Who came over to New Zealand for a civil union. And while they were there, I wrote this song for their wedding, which they had on this fantastic beach in the North Island. And, yeah, it was really beautiful. So Eden with My Eve, I guess, is kind of based on, you know, Laura's album Edenland, which she released in 2008. So it's a little play on words there for the listeners. Just filling you in.
Cool. Okay, take it away, Jane.
All right.
Oh, endless sea, won't you bring her to me? Wake me up from my sleep, bring my Eve to me. Cicadas sing over asphalt and dreams, traveling north, my true north, Eden with my Eve. Glorious heart, all these years span apart, now my life's filled with your song. Watch you each night, cast your spell under lights, and I knew that I already loved you. this heart, all these years spent apart. Now my life's filled with your song. I watch you each night, cast your spell under lights, and I knew that I already loved you. Rapturous kiss underneath this warm bridge. There I knew, there I felt, parts of me I'd missed. Gave you my heart as Nico brought the flood. When she sings like she runs, I feel you in my blood. Glorious heart, all these years spent apart. Now my life's filled with your song. I watch you each night, cast your spell under lights, and I knew that I already loved you. Woke me up from my sleep, eaten with my Eve.
Beautiful. You're on the Women's Zone, Joy 94.9, and I'm with Jen Clore, who's just been performing live.
Yeah.
So, Jen, and thanks so much again for coming in and playing a couple of songs.
It's been a pleasure.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.